Well, I heard a story many years ago, and I don't know if I've ever shared this story with any of you here or not, but if you've heard it already, well, just sit there and smile and let the others enjoy it that haven't heard it. But it seems that I was out in the country, and this drunk was stumbling along through the woods, and he heard what sounded like singing to him. So he begins to follow the sound, and finally he follows it down to a creek. How many know what a creek is? What they're calling rivers here in some places in Tennessee, what they call a river, I call a creek. But I never did really know what the differences were supposed to be. But he finds down at this small creek, he comes upon a group of people that are singing and praising God, and they're having a water baptismal. Anybody ever been to a baptismal at a creek? First time I ever baptized somebody, it was in the cold water of a creek in northern Arkansas in July. And I'll tell you, even in July, that water was cold. So he comes upon this group of people, and he stands back, and he listens to them sing, and watches them raise their hands as they praise the Lord. Watches the pastor as he dunks the people under the water and brings them back up. And finally, after a while, he thinks, you know, I might like that myself. That seems pretty good. So he gets in line. So after a few moments, it becomes his turn. And walks up. Preacher stands in front of him. The preacher grabs him, dunks him under the water, brings him back up. Y'all that have been to a baptism, you know how it goes. Brings him back up, and he looks at the drunk and he says, "Do you believe?" And the drunk says, "I believe." Well, all the others had stopped right there, but the preacher grabs the drunk again and back under, back up. "Do you believe?" The drunk replies, "I believe." And a third time, the preacher grabs him, dunks him back under, and holds him for what seems to be a very long time. Brings him back up and looks at the drunk and says, "What do you believe?" And the drunk looks at the preacher, stares him straight in the face, and says, "I believe you're trying to drown me." Well, the question is, what do you believe? I grew up in Pentecostal church. It's really the only kind of church I've ever known. And, I was raised in Sunday school. I don't have any memories other than of being in church. The young people I associated with were primarily the kids from church. And I remember, as we're taught and all this stuff, but one of the things that I look back and I see that was flawed and how we were taught was, I was asked one time by somebody in school, and I believe I may have been in like maybe the seventh grade at this point. And the person asked me, "Well, what do you believe? What does your church believe?" And I stared him straight in the eye and I said, "Well, we don't believe in this, 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 and this." Because we were taught so much what we didn't believe. Anybody ever taught that way besides me? Now, I see some of the others raised your hands. You knew what you didn't believe, but how well did you know what you did believe? You see, my answer shouldn't have been, "Well, we don't believe in going bowling." That was one of the things. I for years, every time I approached a bowling alley, as far as even driving by it, I knew beyond the shadow of a doubt, if I got out of my car and I walked through the doors of that bowling alley, lightning was going to come out of heaven and strike me dead. I just knew that. Well, the sin is not in the bowling. It's in some of the things that happen when you're there, when you go get drunk and you halfway know what's going on or maybe don't know at all. You know? But I knew what I didn't believe. My answer to this young man should have been, well, we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And through Him is the only way to salvation, things of that nature. That's what I should have replied. But I replied, we don't believe in. And I hope that none of us here today, if we're asked, what do you believe in, should reply like that. Because we want the world to know what we really do believe and what the world needs to know. I had a young man that I worked with many years ago. And he came up and he said, I don't need you to tell me that I'm a sinner. I already know that. He says, I need you to tell me what I can do about it. And that's what the world is looking for. Most of the world really knows that they're a sinner. And they don't need to particularly be driven over the head, bam, 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 you're a sinner. They need to be told what they can do about it. What will get them out of their sins. What it takes to make a change in their life. What do you believe? Well, here's a list. And the one that I have in my notes here was published in 2005. The one that's in the bulletin was from around the same date. But I couldn't copy the one that's in my notes into the bulletin and make it come out the way I wanted. So, but Christianity, 2.1 billion people. That sounds like a lot of people, but when it comes to the size of the world, that's not all that many. Plus, as was mentioned earlier, a lot of those folks are Christian in name only. Well, Grandma and Grandpa were Christians. They went to First Church of whatever every Sunday and every time the door was open. And, you know, so I guess I'm a Christian. Because in certain parts of the world, whatever religion your family was when you were born, that's what you automatically were considered to be. And it's the same with a lot of these that are listed here. Because their family was that, they count everybody in the family as a member of that religion. Islam, second largest religion in the world, 1.3 billion. But the thing that's split out in the one you have in the bulletin, number three is secular, irreligious, agnostic atheists. And the total is 1.1 billion people. I read an article in the newspaper the other day, and it had nothing to do with the notes that I had been working with, but I happened to see this catch my attention. And it said, those who do not believe are growing in numbers. And why are they growing in numbers? Part of it's because the example that a lot of people who said they were Christians set. If you look at somebody and they're proclaiming a particular message and you watch them and their life is not living up to that message they're proclaiming, do you want to be a part of that? Not likely. If they're saying something is good and they live like the devil, is that really what you want? So I can understand why it would seem like, and it appears to be, that number three on the list is those who really don't believe. And it goes on and lists many of the others that are on there, going down to Judaism, which is 14 million. Rastafarian. Anybody know what a Rastafarian is? Besides, there's a couple of us here. And you primarily find them in the Caribbean, is that area, and maybe some parts of the U.S. and the southeast portions of the United States. And they're kind of a conglomeration of several things, but the guys wear their hair long and they never comb it, and generally it's braided and just a big mess. But there's like 600,000 of those folks. There's another religion that was listed on this list of 21 that I have, and I may not pronounce it right, but it's Juche, J-U-C-H-E, 19 million people. Anybody know what that is? It's the state-mandated belief system of North Korea. It's also known as Kim Tu-sungism, and it's classified as a major religion in the world. And of course, Larry mentioned that this past week, Reverend Sun Young Moon died, and when I saw that in the news, I told Mary, I said, well, I guess he found out that he's not God. And there have been others who've been out there that have proclaimed to their followers that they were God or that they were a divine being. But the day would come that they would find out that they're not God. There are hundreds of thousands of religions in the world. Excuse me. Smallest religions, such as the Temple of the Vampires. Ever hear that? Still qualifies as a religion. You can get out there and say, I'm going to start my own religion. I'm the religion of the lucky duckling. All that want to be lucky ducklings, you follow me. And you can qualify it as a religion. And I'm sure you'll get followers. Yeah, quack, quack. You see, some religions that we have listed on your list, and one is Wicca, for example, these religions, many of them go back as far back as recorded history. Why? Because man has instilled within him, a desire to worship. When God created man, he instilled within man that desire to worship him. And even though man fell from grace and sin entered into the world, God didn't take that desire out of their life, out of their being. So instilled within every man, there's a desire to worship something. I got news for you. Atheism, which doesn't believe in God, qualifies as a religion because their religion is that there is no God. Simple as that. But there's that desire to worship something. And everybody that you see, you find out, they will worship something. And some of them are kind of ridiculous. And we look at some of the religions of the world and say, well, their God is this thing here, and isn't that stupid? It's because there's a desire to worship, and they've never been taught differently. For example, in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, which had been in Egypt's bondage for 400 years, they knew who God was. As we were studying in Bible study the other night, and God was speaking to Abram at that time, and telling him that he was going to have an heir, a son. And in that story, in that chapter, it talks about Abram fell into a deep sleep, a horrible sleep, it says. And in this time, God shows him the future of where his seed will end up, 400 years in captivity, and some of the things that will take place that we read about in the book of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and so on, about the time of Moses, how God worked these things out. But here are these people who knew who the true God was. They also knew that this same one true God was the one that had delivered them out of Egypt's bondage. They didn't have the abilities within themselves to break free from the bondage that they were in. But God sent deliverance. And they find themselves now in the wilderness, Moses has gone up on the mountaintop to meet with God. And they, well, Aaron, we got to worship something. Moses has gone up on the mountaintop. He's been up there a while. Maybe he's not coming back. We got to worship something. Let's make a golden calf like what we had back in Egypt. Build us a golden calf that we'll have something to worship. They knew who God was. They had that desire to worship. But they also fell into that same trap of worshiping false gods when they built the golden calf. Moses comes back down. They're dancing around the golden calf, giving praise to it for it delivering them out of Egypt. And yet it was made out of the very gold that they brought to be cast into this calf. During the captivity, when the Jews were in Persia, which is now Iran, and where the Bible first records records them being called Jews in the book of Esther, some other than the Jews took note of their teachings and their prophecies. You know, sometimes if you take a course that might be titled something like The World's Great Religions, and it teaches you about the great religions of history and so on. And of course, sometimes they can be a little skewed as to what they teach in some of these classes. And in one particular case, they taught, well, Judaism got this from this religion. I got news. That religion got it from Judaism, if you go back and check it out. Because in this one class I took, they tried to tell me that some of the practices of the Jews today came from their captivity period in Persia and came from these other religions. But in fact, it was the other religion that got it from the Jews. Did you ever think about when Jesus was born and the Magi showed up because they'd seen his star in the east? They knew of a prophecy. Where'd these guys come from? Persia. There was a religion that was quite well known in one of the major religions of the world at that time called Zoroastrianism. That was probably the prime religion of Persia during the time of the captivity. And within that was a sect known as the Magi, the wise men. They studied the prophecies. They knew what the Old Testament, as it was written up to that point in time, had to say about a coming Savior and Messiah that was going to be born, a King of Kings that was going to come into the world. They knew what to look for. And yet, in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem, those surrounding areas when Jesus was born, his own people didn't recognize the sign that this was the answer to prophecy, that Messiah had come. Yet those who believed in another religion recognized it, saw the sign, and came. You see, within a lot of these religions, there is a kernel of truth, something that grabs hold of you and you recognize truth. And truth sometimes gets twisted then. How many have seen and read about some of the quote-unquote religions just here in America over the last 20 years or so that have had disastrous consequences? One of them that some of you here are way too young to remember was Jonestown, Guyana, with Jim Jones, who was a former Pentecostal preacher at a well-known denomination, who took his followers to the jungles of Guyana and established Jonestown. And their religion had kernels of truth in it, but it had a lot of false doctrine in it as well. And what was the outcome? All but a few died from drinking poison-laced Kool-Aid. Others, such as David Koresh and the Branch Davidians down in Texas, 1993. He had a kernel of truth in his message, but as people begin to follow, then he began to twist the truth, bring in false doctrine, and lead them to believe that he was Messiah. He was the one they should be following, not Jesus, but him. What happened? I remember watching on television in my office as the Branch Davidian compound burned to the ground. Many of the folks still in the buildings, they believed that he was Messiah. And others over the years that we could talk about, there were the group, another group in California that I don't remember their name right offhand, but they believed with the Hale-Bopp comet, Heaven's Gate, that they were going to hitch a ride on a ship that was following behind the comet. That's where Messiah was coming from. And some of these people were considered to be, an educational-wise, intelligent people, but they fell for a lie, and they were lost. Because the Satan, the enemy of our souls, he can take that kernel of truth and he can twist it and manipulate it. And if we're not careful, he will cause you to believe it if you're looking to believe in something but don't know what you believe in. People will believe anything sometimes. You ever known somebody like that? You know, some people believe if it's published in a book, got to be true. Saw it on TV. Got to be true. I heard it on the news. It's got to be true. I saw it on the internet. It's got to be true. It was posted on Facebook. It has to be true. I got news. Half the things on Facebook and maybe more than that aren't true. But people will believe them. I remember years ago, and I was either a very small child or maybe even before I was born, but one of my relatives back then was listening to one of the soap operas on radio. And how many of you know what soap operas are? Some of you here may not even really know anymore because they're almost all gone now. But back in those days when there was no TV and it was just radio, soap operas were abundant in the afternoon. Ah, those stories that people followed. They lived their lives vicariously through these soap opera characters. And I can't remember, but it was a family member of mine, and maybe a great-grandmother or something like that, that told the neighbors, lock your doors, lock your doors, there's this escaped criminal. Well, they were out in the middle of the boonies. That escaped criminal that was being talked about was on a soap opera and didn't even really exist, but she believed it because she heard it on the radio. And you think that sounds funny today, and it does today, but we're still just as bad because we believed it because it was on the internet. And it's just as deceiving. There's a lot of deception in the world today. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. There is delusion in the world today. There are people out there preaching a lie, and they want us to believe it. And some are putting the word Christian within their name somewhere, are tending to lead you to believe that that is the case. What do you believe? Well, on the back page of our bulletin, there's 15 items that we list and the biblical references that support them as to what we as a congregation believe. Someone wants to know. And we could cut these down, probably a few, but within those, there are some that are extremely important. because there are three on there that have the basic truths that we need to know. One of them is, and I believe it's number two, that there is one true God, the eternal, self-existent creator of heaven and earth, redeemer of mankind. And the references that back this up in God's holy word. God is one. Yet there are other people out there trying to tell us there's all kinds of gods out there. God is Mother God, and we got God this and God that. Got into a discussion with somebody the other day about the Democrats taking God out of the platform. And I responded back, depends upon who you're calling God. You know, a lot of times we refer to God, and we're referring to a God that starts with a lowercase g. It's just a God that man has come up with. But there is one true God, Jehovah, Yahweh, Adonai, God. Then there's the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is number three on our list. The eternal Son of God, His virgin birth and His sinless life, His miracles, His death on the cross. He died on the cross for our salvation so that we could have remission, forgiveness of our sins. He didn't come to earth and go through all that He went through just for the fun of it, just for the kicks, just for the joy ride. He came with a purpose, and that purpose was that we could have forgiveness from our sin. As we mentioned earlier, this is the Jewish High Holy Days coming up, when they believe that God will put their name in the Book of Life for the next year or take it out, at a time which they must repent of their sin. We don't have to worry about that. If Jesus Christ is living in my heart, I know my name is written in the Book of Life. That's what He came for. That we could have forgiveness of sin. That we could have a hope in our life. There are a lot of people in the world today that do not have hope. They're living a life, but it's a life without hope. Because they don't really know what they believe in. They don't know who to believe in, some of them. The salvation of man through repentance and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, as we were talking about. These are the cardinal doctrines of the church. These are what, if we do not believe in them, then I'm sorry. If you don't believe in those three items right there, you are not a part of the body of Christ. And I don't care what name you've got on the door. If you don't believe those three items, you're lost. But yet there are churches out there, large denominations, that are slowly but surely removing these cardinal truths from their belief. Well, you know, we don't want to offend anybody. So in the interest of, you know, making everybody feel good and political correctness, how many love that word, political correctness? The word politics right there gives it away. Have you ever seen anything about politics that seemed to really be correct? That should clue you right there. There's a problem. But in the interest of political correctness, we don't want to offend anybody because they might believe different. We'll remove these doctrines that are in the Bible, these teachings that are cardinal truths of the Word of God. We'll remove them from our belief. We don't have to say that anymore. Just come as you are. Yeah, you come as you are to Jesus Christ. You come as a sinner. And it doesn't matter if you were considered yourself a good sinner or a really rotten sinner. And if you look around, there are people that we probably would classify that way. Some people are sinners because they were born in sin, but they live very good lives. And there are other people out there that are so dirty, rotten, that you wonder why in the world God didn't strike them dead a long time ago anyway. You come to Jesus Christ in whatever state of sin you're in, and you ask Him for forgiveness. And He's the one that initiates the change in your life. Now, we got to work on that change. We can't say, okay, God, You came into my heart, now I'll go live however I want to. But when He really comes into your heart, you feel a change. You know something's different. And I don't care if you were that dirty, rotten sinner that was scum of the earth, or one that some people would consider to be a good sinner. You know, didn't do a lot of things wrong. That change still has to take place. If we don't believe those things, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that there is but one true God, there is no other way to heaven except through the blood of Jesus Christ, then we're lost. Yahweh, God's word, tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. You have to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, You are Lord of my life. Many times over the last few years, I have stated that I hate to use the word Christian sometimes, because there are so many today who say that they are Christian when in fact they are not. Grandpa and Grandma were Christians, but I got news, you don't get born into the family of God that way. Unless you've been born into the family of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, you're not really a Christian. You can call yourself one, but that doesn't make you one. True believers is what I sometimes tell people. I believe there are true believers. There are those who have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't like to use the word religion anymore. I don't belong to a religion. What religion do you belong to? And I know that sometimes I got asked that in the hospital. Well, what religion are you, and I don't even remember what I told them because I was half out of it anyway. But religion can be when you bow down to the almighty dollar. Or you can bow down to that golden calf. Or you can go out to that thorn tree outside and bow down and worship it. If you're doing that, please trim it a little bit more. You can do all these things and call yourself a religion or religious. I have a relationship. I have a relationship with the God of the universe, the Creator of all things. You know, some people, and even sometimes people who have Jesus Christ in their heart, they go through some times in their life that they feel down. Anybody ever feel down sometimes and you just felt like, is my life even worth living anymore? And it happens to the young, it happens to the old. Sometimes it happens because of your health or something. And you wonder, am I even worth anything anymore? And you look at other people maybe, and you see the things that are maybe going on in their life, and it seems like everything is going so well for them. Well, wake up. Who's your heavenly Father? He's the King of the universe. Amen. I mean, there is nobody more important in all the universe than your heavenly Father. Yahweh God, King of the universe, Creator of all things. And you're a part of that family. Yeah, you may go through some hard times, have some hard knocks, but someday you're going to reap your reward. You're going to claim your inheritance. You're going to see what God has in store for you for eternity. Next time the devil tries to get you down, And he will tell him, look, devil, there is nobody more important than my Father. Yahweh God, his Son, Jesus the Christ. Nobody more important. Because there isn't. What do we believe? 1 John 2:4. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. If somebody says, I'm a Christian, but they're not keeping the commandments of God, if they're not living for God, if their life, their fruits are not bearing witness that they're a child of God, then the truth is not in them. Because I got news for you. When you're a child of God, your fruits are going to show it. Now, you may not be the smartest person in the world. You may not be the richest person in the world. You may not be the most of a lot of things in the world today. But if God is dwelling in your life, there's some of that fruit going to show. Amen. And I got news. Whoever you're serving, that's whose fruit's going to show. So you look at them. And if their fruit is showing the things of God, then you know God's living in them. But if their fruit is showing somebody else's fruits, then you know where they're living with and who's leading them down their pathway. What do you believe? It's important that today as Christians, especially born-again believers, ones who have that relationship with God, know what we believe. And you don't have to recite a whole big long list of things. You know, churches have their bylaws. You know, this church has some bylaws. It's because we have to satisfy certain requirements. And we have bylaws that say certain things about how business would get conducted. But how we conduct business in this church has nothing to do with whether or not you're a Christian. Has nothing to do with your salvation. It's how we conduct our lives according to the Word of God. How we have Jesus dwelling in our lives. And how we are obedient to Him. And how we believe the cardinal doctrines of the Bible. And most importantly, that there is one true God. He has a Son, Jesus Christ. And it's through His shed blood that we're on our way to heaven.
Amen.
And if you believe those three things, then you're on your way. We can disagree about some other things. And we can debate Scripture, as denominations tend to do. I got news when you get to heaven. Not going to be any denominations. Sorry for some people who think that that's, you know, theirs is the only one going. When Jesus comes back for the millennial reign, no denominations. We'll all be members of the same church.
Amen.
You know?
His church.
Praise God. What do you believe? If you're listening to me today by various other means and outside of this sanctuary today, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have never really made that commitment to Him, you have never said, Jesus, come into my life, then today is the day. Today is the day to ask Jesus Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior. Ask Him into your heart. And say, Jesus, I've been deluded. But today I realize that you are the Son of God. Would you please come into my heart today? I surrender my life to you. You know, Jesus is not like what they teach in some other religions about their quote-unquote God. He doesn't come up and force you into captivity to worship Him. He says, I'm here, I'm available. But you've got to open that door and let me in. And when you open that door and let Him in, He'll come in. He says He'll come in and He'll dwell within us. He'll become a part of us. And He'll lead us and He'll guide us and He'll direct us. And fathers, there are those that are listening to this message today, and some who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would speak to their hearts today and cause them to realize, Father, that they need Jesus in their life. And I thank You for it now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.